Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Story County Board of County Commissioners meeting. This day is Tuesday, August the 18th, 2015. We're starting a little bit late. Thanks for indulging us. We had debt management meeting. It ran a little bit long this morning. So we're ready to kick it off now. If anybody has any cell phones or any PDA devices, maybe you can put them on silent now. It wouldn't disrupt the rest of the meeting. We always start off our meetings with the Pledge of Allegiance. And at this time, I'd like to ask Commander Sean Peterson, would you stand and lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
All right. Greetings, halt! I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Ready? Two.
Never done better, Commander. Thank you. Okay. As with all government meetings, some things are a little bit mundane, so we'll move on now to item number 3. And this is discussion and possible action. This is approval of the agenda for this date, August 18th, 2015. Does anybody have any changes they need to make to today's agenda?
Not by staff, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
Yes, I'm fine. Thank you.
You ready to go? Okay. Any public comment on today's agenda? Hearing none. Commissioner McGuffey, you look for a motion to approve today's agenda?
I'm sorry.
I'm looking for a motion to approve today's agenda.
I'll make the motion to approve today's agenda.
And I'll second your motion. To move to second to approve today's agenda. All those in favor signify by saying aye. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Sorry. Motion carries. So if the clerk will take notice that obviously Commissioner Gilman is absent today. He's unavailable to attend. He's pretty quick on the draw to make these motions. Moving along that item number 4, this is discussion and possible action, the approval of the minutes for our last meeting on August the 4th, 2015. Is there any public comment regarding the minutes of our previous meeting? Hearing none, Commissioner McGuffey, looking for a motion for approval?
Well, I saw that it had some corrections that were required. August 4th, the page 3 said Gwen Buck instead of Gwen Buck. Oh, that was August 4th, it looked like.
Yeah.
Okay. And then page 5 was towards the bottom, it said birthday instead of birthday for Lockwood.
Okay.
Those are the only two
corrections I've got. All right. So now I'm looking for a motion to approve the minutes with those corrections as amended.
I'll make the motion to approve the minutes with those corrections.
And I'll second your motion. It's been moved to second to approve the minutes of August 4th. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. And the motion carries. Moving along now to today's consent agenda. Does anybody have any questions regarding today's consent agenda? Hearing none, Commissioner McGuffey, looking for a motion for approval?
I'll make a motion to approve today's consent agenda.
I'll second your motion. Been moved and seconded to approve today's consent agenda. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye, and the motion carries. All right, moving along now to the item number 9. This is discussion only, presentation by Nevada VFW Post 8071, awarding Story County firefighter paramedic Ben Brown as Nevada Paramedic of the Year. So, gentlemen, go ahead and take to the podium.
Okay. First of all, I want to thank you, commissioners, for allowing our local post to be part of the community and being able to present this safety award to our first responders. And they are the folks that keep us safe. I want to thank the fire department for participating this year. I had a good response from your write-up of Ben Brown and how important the safety program is. First of all, I'm Dave Zabel. I'm in charge of the safety program itself, state chairman. I also do the local. I'm from the local chapter. We have here Sean. He is the 871 commander. And for the state of Nevada, we have the commander-in-chief, who is Dave Sousa. And so he's the big one for the entire state. I have here Dan Rash. If you see guys on motorcycles, it says VFW Riders. He's the state commander. We have our local quartermaster, Joel Soares. He's our quartermaster. I got Carl Inman. He's a member. And also our junior vice, Phil Graves. He's here with us today. So I want to thank everybody for showing up. And get over there where I can see you. Anyway, Lenny's our chaplain. Sorry. And so anyway, he's our local chaplain. Okay, the first thing I would like to bring up how dangerous and what these folks do for us, the fire, police, first responders. I'm sad to mention that or say that we lost a deputy sheriff this last weekend. His name was Carl Howell. He was 35 years old. He had 9 years on the Sheriff's Department. He was responding to a domestic violence call. During that call, he was killed. He's going to leave behind his wife, Rachel, and he has 4 young children, ages 7 to 12 years old. So I want to recognize the fact that these guys are out there putting their lives on the line for us to keep us safe. His funeral services are going to be Thursday. It's going to be 11 a.m. down at Convention Center in Reno. It's going to start, there's going to be a funeral procession. It's going to start in Carson City, and they're going to have the procession is going to go past the State House. It's going to go past the memorial for the police officers, and then it's going to continue out to the Convention Center. So I just want to remind everybody that someone close to us did make a sacrifice, and sorry. But let's get to the good stuff now. We're going to honor Ben Brown. Last year, in 2014, I went to the fire department. I said, could you nominate somebody for this award? Because as part of the VFW, Veterans of Foreign Wars program, our motto is nobody does more for vets than Veterans of Foreign Wars. Well, it doesn't stop just there. We go into the community, and we have a lot of programs that we bring the community to us. And one of them is us, the VFW, recognizing our first responders. And that's not just local. It goes completely through the state and all the way to national to the United States. So anyway, so I asked Battalion Chief Jeff Nevin to write up somebody that he thought was deserving, and Ben Brown is our nominee for the year, so congratulations. I have a short write-up here. I'm not going to read it, but basically, in essence, what it says that Ben's doing a great job. He does a lot of work in the community, training with his peers, and et cetera. So this is from Post 8071, our local post from Virginia City, and I'll let our commander present it, and if you would read it and present it, please.
All right, this is for Firefighter Ben Brown, Firefighter Award. In special recognition and highest praise and alertness, personal courage and ever-vigilant guardianship of life and property. By the Veterans of Foreign Wars of the United States, Post 8071, Virginia City, Nevada, 2014. I'd like to give this award to Ben Brown. Sure. There we go.
Okay. Great. Thank you. background so you understand what's going on. What happens is all the posts, there's about 40 of them in the state of Nevada, they all participate in this program, and they get their, in their community, to get their first responders, whoever they may be, to nominate a nominee. So that, then I'll get, because I'm the state chairman, I'll get all these 40 nominees from the entire state. It goes all the way down to a Searchlight. And anyway, then I select a committee. The committee will vote on one person from each, one nominee from each category for a national award. And my committee selected Ben, and so I'm going to present Ben, or Dave Sousa will, with the, and it's really a nice award. It's from the Veterans of Foreign Wars. It's a nice citation, and the picture of the gentleman on here is our our national chief, commander-in-chief, John Stroud. So, Dave, could you read that, please?
Real quick, it's my honor to be here. Thank you for letting us take the time out to honor one of your own for the community. This is a community award. Like you said, this goes up to the national organization, and they award one police, one fireman, and one paramedic. This year, we honored the Sparks Police Department with an award, and the REMSA paramedic, one of those guys, got the award. And for firefighter paramedic up here, Mr. Brown got this award. And it's my honor. You know, for me as a combat veteran, some of us go out there for just a year and do our fighting, and we come home to our loved ones. These first responders do it every single day. So let's give them a round of applause, because they deserve it. So I was the first Iraq-Afghanistan veteran to be the VFW state commander last year. My term ended June 13th. It was an honor for me to serve that position. Our commander-in-chief last year was John Stroud out of Hawthorne, Nevada, so it was a real pleasure for me to serve with him. And it's our honor and John's honor to present this award to Mr. Brown. Veterans of Foreign Wars of the United States, VFW National Firefighter Award, is awarded to firefighter paramedic Ben Brown in recognition and utmost appreciation of his dedication and selfless service to the Story County Fire Protection District. During Ben Brown's outstanding career, he has displayed an exceptional record of exemplary courageous service to the community and the nation. His extraordinary commitment is in keeping with the esteemed core values and traditions of the firefighter profession, further manifested by the high degree of admiration and respect of both his peers and the local public he serves. Firefighter paramedic Ben Browns is truly a role model to all firefighters, and this honor reflects the proudest ideals of the Veterans of Foreign Wars of the United States, in witness whereof we have hereunto set our hands in the official seal that a Veterans of Foreign Wars of the United States, Commander-in-Chief John W. Stroud, and Adjutant General John E. Hamilton. Congratulations. You deserve it.
There you go.
Say some words.
All right. Come on. Come on, Ben. Speech.
Wow.
Hold on a second.
Okay.
It gets better. Okay. I have a check in my hand here. It's addressed to Ben Brown. It's from the Veterans of Foreign Wars of the United States Department of Nevada. And it's in the amount of $200. And that comes from the Department of Veterans VFW for his good, outstanding work.
And Ben, let me present this to you.
And also, I had a conversation with Ben. We're kind of going over how this was going to happen, and I stopped him on the phone about a week ago. I told him about the rewards, and then when I got to the check, all of a sudden, the phone became silent. I thought, man. So I go, Ben, there he goes. So he finally says, yeah, I'm here. And I says, what's going on? He says, well, he says, a $200 check. I says,
That means I'm going to have to buy everybody in the firehouse ice cream. So, I was hoping that everybody from the fire department was here, but I know you guys are out fighting the fires. So, anyway, congratulations, and thank you very much.
Great. Thank you.
One last thing. I forgot to introduce Bob Snyder. Bob Snyder is our chairman, and he has a very important position. His position is, you know, if you ever see the little poppies at our parades, we're handing out poppies and big events. Well, Bob is that guy. He's in charge of the whole state. He handles the, he's the poppy chairman. So if you see him out there, he's out there passing out those little poppies.
Just a couple small things. I just want to firstly point out what an honor this is to receive this award. I'm truly blessed to receive this. I got to point out that, you know, this job, this career is not an individual effort. The only reason that a person can be successful in this business is the team that we work with. So I have to thank everybody that I work with, my coworkers, my captains, my chiefs, everybody for making me successful, as well as thank my family for supporting this career and giving me that boost when I need it. So thank you all very much. And I appreciate it.
That's great. Sure we can, yeah.
We'll let the commission get in there.
So first of all, while everybody's still here, I want to congratulate Ben on his recognition from the gift of Houston. And thank you guys for taking the time to go ahead and recognize those who go ahead and go above and beyond, you know, the call of duty. But then again, you guys themselves, you members of the VFW and all veterans, first of all, we thank you for your service. What, do you guys all hear the ice cream truck roll up in front?
Yes.
righty. Here's part of the meeting that I've been waiting for all day long. Under item number 10, this is discussion, possible action. And this will be recognition of Maggie Lothar for her years of service.
Maggie, would you come up, please?
This is a first for Story County. And I believe I have my dates right. And believe me, if I'm wrong, she'll correct me. She's probably got her red pencil out. I love this day, and I'm actually glad for the way things worked out. You might recall, I believe it was two meetings ago, Mary and Steve Walker, Walker and Associates, and our government affairs director, Bum Hess, got up and gave a comprehensive report. Maggie was also supposed to be there, but I'm a bad scheduler. The day before, she had significant surgery, and I just couldn't find it in my heart to say, tough, you know, get out of that bed and get up here, you know, and give us the report. So the good news is, during her month or so of recuperation, she's 100+% she reported to me the other day. And she also has managed to escape yet one more report on the legislative session, because it's a thing of the past. We now know what happened. But it happened because of ladies like this. In 2007, I believe, Maggie hung up her longstanding duties as the Story County Recorder Auditor. And we gave her a plaque. We gave her a resolution. And we thanked her for her many years of service, sincerely. But Maggie didn't want to give up, and neither did I. I'm a Taurus, and I'm stubborn. And Maggie still had a lot more good years in her. So for the next phase, she said, I love when I go down there and lobby on behalf of the Recorders Association, helping out NACO, you know, doing those types of things. And I'd be honored if I could help represent Story County down in the legislative halls and work with the legislators that I've been working with these past many years. So keep in mind, she retired in 2007. She went to work as our lobbyist in 2007, because that was a session year. By my counts, I think that means that she's had five legislative sessions, 7, 9, 11, 13, and 15. So five legislative sessions, countless special sessions, including two special sessions at a time, the Tesla special session. But on top of that, it's during the interims that Maggie just put her nose to the grindstone. She either went out to Elko and she watched all the subcommittee hearings and the interim committee hearings. I bet she burned up more electricity in her house watching these being streamed on internet than any lobbyist ever does, ever, anywhere. So I thought it appropriate to single Maggie out today and give her her very own plaque yet once again, to hang by another one, hopefully, that says, this is presented to Maggie Lothar in recognition of representation during five legislative sessions and a myriad of special sessions, 2007 to 2015. We know your smiling face will be missed in the legislative halls in the future. Story County thanks you for your dedication and appreciates the difference you have made in our community. Maggie?
Thank you.
Thank you.
I knew you were going to say that. First of all, I'd like to just thank the county government for the recognition. But I'd also like to say that Story County, along with my family, has been one of the most important things in my life. And I will always feel that way. And especially all the people that put me here, year after year. I'm very much appreciative. Thank you.
Well, Maggie may have retired from county government, but she's still not off the hook with me, because I utilize Maggie's expertise and knowledge on a regular basis. She agrees to join me in lunches to where I can go ahead and drill her on why things are the way they are, how we got to where we are, where some of the bodies are buried, and so anyway, I appreciate everything that that Maggie has helped me with in the past. She's really been a mentor to me in the job that I have with the county now, and I really appreciate you, Maggie. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Now we'll get on to some of the staff reports now. And under number 11, discussion only. We'll take no action or public comment. And anyway, why don't we start off with Mark Twain Community Center. I see Ron Engelbrecht in the audience. Also one of our new planning commissioners. Anyway, welcome aboard with that as well, Ron.
Ron Engelbrecht, Mark Twain resident. Just wanted to make sure everybody was aware that on August 27th at 6 o'clock, we have our community meeting down there. We would like to thank the county people for being willing to come down and discuss topics and answer a few questions, whether they're loaded or unloaded. But it'll be interesting. So food service starts at 6 to 7, meeting at 7 o'clock on. So we appreciate you being there. We have our elections coming up next month for new officers, and so we're making some modifications to the bylaws to make things a little smoother, a little easier to handle in that situation. So, but we appreciate the county's support. We have our own bank account that looks decent, so we appreciate that. That's it. Thank you.
Any questions, Jack? Nothing? Okay. You need a case? Thank you. That's good. From planning, Jason, do you have anything for us today? Right there. How about Sherry?
Good morning, Sherry Nevin for the record. The Nevada Health Center's mammography van will be here in Virginia City this Friday, August 21st, from 8 to 3:30 at the Silverland parking lot. It is appointments are necessary to utilize that service. They accept most insurance, major insurance, as well as Medicare, and they also have a sliding fee schedule. I just learned of this yesterday. They were a little bit behind the curve in getting the word out, so we're trying to help them get that out here. In the last few days, they said they didn't have any sign-ups, so we're pushing the word out. So please share with friends, family who may be interested in that service. You don't need to live in Story County. You can live wherever. The income survey for Mark Twain will begin in September. We've been talking about it for a long time. It's finally coming to reality. Those surveys will be sent out the first to second week of September. UNR will act as the facilitator for this project, and they're saving us a considerable amount of money going with them. So their Economic Development Center will be the group assisting with that, and they've got excellent folks there that can help us analyze those results. So tomorrow we'll be hosting 65 Fulbright scholars with the university up here in town. We'll have lunch at the park, take them on a train ride, and end the day with a panel discussion at the Fourth Ward School. So should be a great day to have them here on the Comstock. So that's all I have. If anyone has any questions.
Great. Thanks, Sherry. All right. From the fire department, Chief Hames.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Commissioner McGuffey. Just a few things to report. I'm very happy to report that we were successfully able to reopen Fire Station 75 in the McCarran Complex out in Trick on August 10th. We're currently staffing that with two people, 24 hours a day. Everything is going well except for the, I think I lost count, but I think the last count was 13 scorpions they killed in the first hour of being there the first day. So we're working through those issues, but otherwise everything's great out there. I'm also happy to report that we've received the SAFER grant. We applied for this last October, just received word of that within the last 2 weeks, and that will essentially allow us to hire 12 additional bodies to support the fire district. We have a current hiring list, so we're working through that process, and I'll keep you apprised as to how that goes. The engines that you've approved in ambulances are all online currently, working extremely well. It's very nice to have equipment that when you do a transport, you don't get a call at 2 in the morning going, oh, our ambulance broke again. So very happy with those results. We've had a lot of people off district here lately. We've had engines in California, had some overhead paramedics in actually Alaska. We currently have some folks over in California, and we're helping them out with some line paramedics as well, which is why I was late this morning trying to get those folks out the door. That's the highlights. Busy with the industrial complex. It always worries me when Commissioner Gilman's not here because that means that my plate's going to get much fuller, quicker with doing inspections and plan reviews. So that's all I have. You guys don't have any questions?
How many do you have out of state fighting fire?
Right now we have, with the two that were, well, they're in state. Out of state we have five currently.
Out of district? In state?
Out of district we have seven, nine. We have nine people and two apparatus currently.
And what's your current status on fuel reductions?
Fuel. Oh, great. Thank you so much. That's another thing that's on my plate. We're one of two organizations to receive the fuels grant this year through Division of Forestry, which is passed through the Forest Service. Ourselves and University of Nevada Cooperative Extension received those funding resources through grants. We just ordered a new excavator last week that will have a mastication head placed on it. Part of those grant funds will allow us to keep our 9-month seasonal personnel on over wintertime to do fuel reductions. I can't remember exact acreage, but there's 50-plus acres to be treated in the highlands, along with Bailey Canyon selective fuel modification breaks, mostly removal of dead trees, down 6 Mile Canyon and in and around Mark Twain area. So really happy about that. I can't believe I forgot to mention that.
I actually read about the grant in the newspaper.
What's that?
It was an AP article or something in the newspaper about the grant.
And I apologize. We've got so many balls in the air right now that's one that's absolutely on the front end of our to-do list, but I completely failed to mention it.
Terrific program.
Yeah. I might also chime in, correct me if I'm wrong, Chief, that the first Station 75 crew reported for duty. They got there a little bit early than their start time, which all good fire guys do, and sheriff's deputies. But they reported and were ready for duty at 8 a.m. on Monday, August 10th. Their first call out was at 8:05 in the park. So,
and in the famous words of Dean, we've been pretty busy. I don't know what's happened out there, but it's like everybody knows that we're staffing there now, and it's just been very, very busy. Lots of traumatic injuries. They had a terrible fatal accident out there just late last week. It took us less than 10 minutes to get there. It took us around 6.5 minutes. Exactly. But otherwise, it would have taken us 25 minutes to get there. So good results, just very busy.
Terrific.
Nothing else. Thank you.
Thank you, Chief. Over at the Public Works Department, Mike Nevin.
Okay, I'll start the clock now.
Just a couple of items of interest. About 3 months ago, myself and Sherry began work on applying for some grant funding assistance to do some improvements to our Miners Park here in Virginia City. And this is a program actually administered by the National Park Service on the federal level. And then, of course, they, channel the funds down through the Nevada State Park System here in Nevada. And Sherry received word yesterday that our grant was finalized in the amount of right about $60,000. It's a 50-50 match grant, of which we did budget our share in this fiscal year's budget. So if everything goes well, they anticipate we'll probably receive our official approval to move forward sometime in November. So, with that being said, it probably looks like, we're into next spring before we actually see any physical work on the ground down there at Miners Park. And this project includes, of course, removal, which has already been completed, and the replacement of all the playground equipment some additional work on the grounds down there, adding some sidewalks and such. So looking forward to that. The program actually is called the Parks and Recreation Trails Program. Land and water conservation funds are used for the purpose of granting those funds to those that apply and are successful. So I'd like to thank Sherry for all the hard work because the application was, you know, one of those that gets pretty detailed and involved. And SHPO signed off on it finally. That was the last piece of the puzzle. So we received that, or she did, yesterday. So that's some good news. Secondly, as I had made mention in the last meeting, the water line underneath Highway 580 is scheduled for replacement by the Nevada Department of Transportation as part of a freeway improvement project with federal dollars to improve on-off ramps there at the Lakeview Eastside Boulevard interchange. Of course, the water siphon runs underneath that highway. Was scheduled for replacement back in 1963 and was not completed at that point. This time it will be completed. We met about a week ago, all the players, with NDOT. The Marlette Water System has hired an engineering firm based, they have a local office in Reno called GECOM. They're very knowledgeable with these types of high-pressure pipe projects, so we're glad to have them on board. The initial estimate received from the engineering firm, including their fees and some construction management fees, amount to just short of $800,000. So that's money that, you know, this local water system did not have to front. So we're looking forward to moving along with that project. If everything goes as anticipated, they're looking at probably construction of that new piece of the siphon in December of this year. So the other couple of things going on is we began working with Lyon County Public Works this morning in the Mark Twain Estates subdivision, jetting out culverts that are county responsibility that cross, you know, roads and streets there. We anticipate we'll probably be down there, you know, the rest of this week and possibly a portion of next week. It finally has come together where, you know, we've gotten caught up with other projects, so we're able to get down there and hopefully, you know, make some impact as far as some of those clogged culverts due to the recent events that occurred down there in June and July. The Cape Slurry Seal Project should be completed the end of this week. They're in Virginia City Highlands yesterday and today. We do know that, you know, there are some delays that impact travel, but, you know, that's just part of the beast when you're doing these kind of road projects. They're to be expected. But we've had very few complaints, which is a good thing. They'll be in Virginia City Wednesday, Thursday. In fact, they have a sweeper up here, I noticed this morning, and they'll divide Virginia City over the 2 days. So, and then they'll move on to Mark Twain Estates and finish Sam Clemens on Friday. And then we'll develop a punch list. There may be little odds and ends that they have to complete. So I'm looking forward to getting that project under our belts. And the swimming pool, again, closes the end of this week. Sunday will be the last day, and everybody will be back in school. So there you have it, almost the end of the summer.
Yeah, in the middle of August.
Okay.
Thank you. Any questions for me?
Great. Thank you, Mike. Yeah. County Recorder's Office, Jim, do you have something today? Nothing today? Okay. Out of the Comptroller's Office, Mr. Gallagher?
Nothing, Mr. Chairman.
Out of the Sheriff's Office, Sheriff? Sheriff Jerry. I thought you might pass the buck to Melanie today.
Thought I might what?
I thought you might have Melanie go ahead and speak today.
I already imposed on her enough having her go to meetings this morning. Yeah. No, just one quick update. It took several years to finally get the contract signed with the BIA for in tribal inmate housing. Reported a couple meetings ago that we did have an agreed-upon contract. Just want to update you now. 2 weeks ago tomorrow, we took receipt of our first tribal inmate. We've had nearly a dozen through the doors in the last 2 weeks, and apparently the BIA likes it because I just got an email from them increasing the first year's contract award by $50,000. So they must like what they're getting, and they're going to pay us more money.
Terrific.
So who's responsible for transporting them? Is it tribe?
They are. They transport them back and forth, and if they're ever in a bind to transport, we've offered that we will provide services, provide our staffing, allow us for it. Of course, they have to pay extra for that. So.
Oh, okay. That's good. So. Yeah,
right on. Thank you, Sheriff. D.A. Langer?
Nothing today, Mr. Chairman.
County Manager Whitten?
Just a couple of things, Mr. Chairman. You mentioned Lance isn't here. He is. I hate to tell Chief Hames this, but he's out yet chasing another deal. And apologizes tremendously for having to miss, but this is one of those unavoidable ones and a sizable one at that. A couple of quick things coming up on the horizon. This Friday there will be a groundbreaking for an exciting new company coming out to the park. And that's a company by the name of Aqua Metals. They are a lead acid battery recycler. And they break down Friday morning right next to Battery Systems. And those are truly milestone days, both when they break ground, when they open the doors, and definitely from Hughes' standpoint, when they pay their taxes. So these deals take a long time to put together. There's a lot of players involved, including Chief Hames and his fire inspector too, Fritz Klingler, Dean, of course, Austin, you name it. It's a broad group, but Aqua Metals is coming. On the consent agenda, there was a little one tucked in there called Buy Nutraceuticals, and I'm not going to begin to pretend I know what they do. They apparently make nutraceutical products out of natural products. So, in essence, they take bark and make bark extract and that type of stuff. So they'll be coming into one of the existing buildings out of Troy. And in talking to Lance, there is a lot more coming. So you never know how many actually will land here, but listening to what Lance says, looking at what Mike Kazmierski at the Economic Development Authority of Western Nevada says in his periodic article in the RGJ and at board meetings, there's a lot more coming. So the only other thing, even though it's not on the agenda, I would like to give you a report because there has been some forward progress, although it's by millimeters at a time, but on our quest for at least a zip code out in the industrial park and overall to repair and fix once and for all the misidentifications that, you know, a small county has in using multiple zip codes. We did make some great headway over the last week. Congressman Amity sent out his senior staffer, Stephanie Walker. Stephanie and I toured the park. I think her eyes were open wide. She couldn't believe everything that was out there. She actually is a Carson City She grew up in Carson City, UNR graduate, and is back in D.C. on Mark's staff, and was just astounded at what was there and excited. It's refreshing when your congressman's staff, because oftentimes your congressmen are a political entity, but your staffs are a little more realistic, at least at the federal level, not necessarily at the local level. But it's refreshing when somebody on their staff says, the congressman and I have determined that we're going to get you guys your zip code or they're going to carry us out in our caskets. You know, and I think that message coming back to us from Washington speaks volumes. So it's going along, and this also opened up a new avenue that Deputy D.A. Loomis was sharp enough to catch. And we had been aware of one of them, but now there are two. There are two current federal acts pending in Congress. One's the Marketplace Fairness Act, and it deals mostly with internet tax sales, but it deals with the precise locations, we hope. And that's in the Senate, and then in the House, there's a comparable bill. Differences would have to be hammered out, called the Remote Transaction Parity Bill. Both those are now up on our federal lobbyist, retired Congressman Porter's screen, and definitely Stephanie's as well. So they're doing some research to see if we can, if we need to modify any legislation, if this legislation might, in addition to a zip code, solve those issues. But by far and away, we're not backing off the need for a zip code either. So that's my report, sir.
You might want to mention the new parent of Sue Lilly.
Oh yes, all the news this morning is one of our marquee tenants, exciting young company, only in existence I think since late 2013, Zoo Lily, has been acquired by the parent company that owns QVC. Sounds like they're working through what their operations are going to look like. Most likely, we're going to see, I would think, not a whole lot of change other than the power that that bigger name brings. And some of the press and the media floating around out there is rather interesting. QVC needed some help with the younger markets. That's what Zoo Lily appeals to. And Zoo Lily probably needs, you know, the help of a bigger parent company such as the one that owns QVC. So that's exciting news for us. We now have another behemoth out in the park instead of just an exciting Seattle-based
expansion.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, and they have already. Great observation. You know, I mean, they just expanded from probably a couple 350,000 square feet into 700 plus, and who knows what else they need. And there's more land right out by them.
Yeah, yeah. They can grow more. Exactly.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Clerk, nothing today? That concludes staff. What's that?
He passed.
Oh, well, I wanted him to speak because I had some questions for you.
Oh, he'll come up. Come on up, Hugh.
We can talk outside the meeting. I was just going to. I went to the homeowners meeting last week, and there was a couple questions regarding the park funds. I did talk to the county manager over this. There was the $10,000 that the Highlands got for just to do whatever they wanted with. They chose to use that for ceiling, crack ceiling. Okay, but now that's one thing. The next thing is that we reallocated funds to the park, to each park, basically.
Okay.
So the Highlands has a nest egg of like 68 or something like that, 1,000. I can't remember the exact number.
Okay.
So the question really is okay, there's money for the park there, and how is it spent? You know, Pat suggested maybe do the same as the 10K deal where both county homeowner or both the homeowner associations out there got together, agreed, and signed a sheet of paper that we want a sidewalk at the park or something like that. Is that okay by you? And then there's some limits on what it can be spent on. That's where we're kind of headed.
I think the park fund, obviously the balances that are there now are going to be corrected because of the penalty interest was applied before. That is not going to be the case now, so it'll be a little less. But in statute in 278, it says that because of the collection of the tax for new home construction, the purposes of that, you can spend it on helicopters. No, excuse me, not helicopters. Facilities, which means turf, trees, irrigation, playground apparatus, playing fields, areas to be used for organized amateur sports, play areas, picnic areas, horseshoe pits, and other recreational equipment or apparatus designed to serve the natural persons, which
I don't know why that's there, families and small groups from the neighborhood from which the tax was collected. Neighborhood park means a site not exceeding 25 acres designed to serve the recreational and outdoor needs of natural persons, families, and small groups. So sky's kind of the limit as far as where you want to do with that, as far as putting an amount on there. If you're going to put playground equipment or whatever it is out there, I suggest, you know, you get those things. Obviously, you know, bids of some sort would be in order. We'll go ahead and we'll take a look at that, approve that portion, and get it paid. I'm thinking.
Now, one thing you didn't mention was like sidewalks. You're talking about playground.
No, sidewalks and stuff like that. You know, that may be infrastructure more than anything else. Now, it does say that. So since we've got our district attorney here, who's liberal language, McGeorge probably gave her a little bit more ability to construe some of these. But it does say, you know, when it says, you know, facilities, and it goes to playgrounds and areas to be used for organized amateur sports, whether or not that includes a walkway to get to the field,
yeah.
I would say yes.
Yeah. Okay. You know. Well, I take it it's the Highlands Park anyway. They've brought that up a couple times, maybe a sidewalk for handicapped people so that, you know, so they can roll a wheelchair into the park, at least into the gazebo. Okay. So that's kind of where I was headed with that.
And I think anytime you have a park, there's ADA requirements all over the place there, too. So I think that kind of fits hand in hand.
Yeah. Okay.
So I don't have a problem with that.
Now, I asked a question also. Is that money, can the county spend that money on what they think the park needs?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Okay. We've done that with the park here, and the one at Mark Twain.
We would
like to have those ideas from the people that are in the park. That's certainly great with us because, you know, their needs are a lot different than ours. And if bikes people see a situation down there or whatever and brings it to our attention, then we'll go ahead and deal with it. But I'd rather have it come from the Highlands group.
I could see where Mike's crew could use a gate to get their truck in and for hauling weeds and stuff out of there. You know, if they could use that money, that would be
nice. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay.
All right. Now that will conclude staff and committee reports. And we'll move on now to item number 12. These are board comments. No action will be taken, and we'll take no public comment on this. Commissioner McGuffey, you're first up.
The volunteer fire department had their annual spaghetti feed. Yeah, it looked like it was typical. It looked like it was successful. Lady in the Trance did a great job. Of course, you know, for many years I've volunteered the bartending services. So as a commissioner and bartender, I got an earful too. I think the biggest request, one is a request for work on the roads that I will address to the boards there. But from the sheriff department, I know we can't dictate what the sheriff department does, but there was a request for, now that school's starting, that there might be some more presence at the bus stop near Cartwright and Mousetown. And I'm just going to leave it at that. Okay. That's it. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Commissioner McGuffey. Along my lines, my wife and I also attended the spaghetti feed Saturday night at the Highlands. I've been to it many times. As a matter of fact, when they first started it, I was in the volunteers in Virginia City, and I set up the first bar for them out there. And so it was nice to see that Commissioner McGuffey and his wife were tending to the bar. So we gave them a little bit of our business and enjoyed the evening immensely. do a great job with all the volunteers putting on the spaghetti and the silent auction and raffles, and the music was wonderful. And as I attended, what I like to do is I like to, when I go to the Highlands, I like to go in one way and go out the other. So I drove in, Cartwright to the firehouse, and I took Laughstown out back to 341 on my way home that evening. So I also noticed all the work that this, the road work that's been done so far. And the issue that's always being brought up, and Dave Thomas has probably been the one who's been most vocal to me personally, is about the 2 miles from Saddleback, which is the turnoff to his house, to the firehouse, that is totally the responsibility of the homeowners in the Highlands. Now that I've seen all the nice work that's been done on Cartwright and on Laustown, for the exception of the 2 miles that goes from Saddleback to the fire station, and a reference to when I was asking Gary about fuel reductions, I noticed there's an awful lot of fuel alongside Cartwright also, which I think poses a problem, is that I don't want to cause a precedent by doing any type of work on private properties. But looking at that 2 mile stretch, I think it's something we should look at, and I'd actually like to agendize this for the next commissioner's meeting here, that we could discuss this back and forth. But I'm thinking that since I know it's a privately owned piece of property out there, but we have fire and sheriff's units on this road every day. We've got school buses on it every day. I think we've got a public safety issue with the condition of that road. And I think that if we could agendize this for the next meeting, I think it's something we should look at. I think that between Pat and Hugh, they could look in deep and see where we can find the monies to do this maintenance. I want them to get with the legal counsel and see if we can legally do this type of work. So, I'm not.
Thank you.
I'm trying to walk a thin line here, Counselor, because I'm not trying to make any decisions right here, and I'm not asking Jack to agree with me on anything here. I just think it's something we should look at out there. I'm not talking about doing all the side streets and that, but I'm just thinking for the thoroughfare, for all of the county vehicles that have to utilize these roads, 7 days a week. I think it's something we should look at going forward. So.
I did some research on this last year, quite a bit, chasing down NRS statutes and stuff like that on public roads. And I do recall reading something saying that, when the school buses and sheriff department, fire department, and medics and everybody are using that road, the public, anybody that drives in there using that road is considered a public road.
You know what? Maybe we should look into this and get
at it. Yeah, but that's where you come in.
Yeah.
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 What really depicts a
public
road?
Yes.
Okay. So.
I'll make a comment. I think, if we can find the legal path, I think you and I can find the money. I know Mike and I had chatted a while back about the cost of the 2 miles versus the cost of our 1 mile out there. And it's not an astronomical sum in terms of the county budgets. It certainly must be an astronomical sum in terms of the homeowners associations out there that use that, and whether or not SNC or the lowest bidder, hopefully SNC in this case, because I think they've done stellar work so far from everything I've seen. But whether or not they could get to it this year or as early as they possibly could in the season next year, what better time to have both paved roads completely done to full spec and up to date? So. I will work with Hugh, Mike, and Ann and Keith on finding the way. So, and we'll have it on the next agenda.
Very good. The second item I wanted to bring up is the VFW gentleman mentioned the deputy sheriff in Carson City who was murdered a couple days ago. Terrible incident. And we were always talking about our professional heroes out there, which are police and fire. Also, loss of life in the Tahoe Basin recently of a young 21-year-old firefighter who was up there working a huge fire, and he died from a falling tree in this fire area. He was only 21 years old, and so we have to keep our thoughts and prayers for these people. You know, I mean, he's not here in Nevada. He's not in a local town, but I mean, he's in our immediate area, basically, and so we have to think about these guys all the time. So anyway, that concludes my comments. And at this point, we're going to move on to item number 13. And this is a discussion of possible action, notice of intent to file an application with the USD Rural Development for funding to complete the remaining phases of the Virginia Divide sewer system. Sherry, you want to go ahead and take the lead on this?
Sure. Sherry Nevin, for the record. We come before you today requesting your approval to file a loan grant application with the USDA Rural Development Utilities Programs for the purpose of financing the remaining phases on the rehabilitation of the Virginia Divide sewer system to meet the present and future needs of the demands on the system. The total costs for the remaining phases, 2 through 5, we completed 1 with the construction of the wastewater treatment plant, is approximately $13 million. At this time, we are not sure on the amount of loan and grant funds that we may receive for this project. However, we are hopeful that we'll receive 75% grant and 25% loan. Phases 2 through 5 are all the collection system to bring all of the piping into the plant. A lot of this pipe dates back to the 1800s. The fourth phase should be of note because it will connect the Gold Hill, which is now on septic, to the Virginia City system. So we've been meeting with USDA for several months now. They have brought out folks from Washington, D.C. to take a look at our projects, what we have here. It's very unique. It's old. It's in need of replacement. And they're encouraging us to go ahead and submit this application. Like I said, we are totally unsure of what we're going to get, if it'll be this fiscal year, if it'll be next fiscal year, if we'll get some money in one fiscal year and some more in the next. But USDA is just doing a tremendous job in lobbying for this project and getting us these funds. So, like I said, if we can get that 75% grant funding and the 25% match, I mean, we need that. Otherwise, we'll have to take a look and see, you know, if we can make the project feasible. So if anyone has any questions for me, this is kind of the first in a series of, these are several documents, as you can see here on the staff action that needs to get signed and sent in, with much more to come as we progress. So any questions for me, I'm happy to answer those.
Go ahead, John.
Well, since phase one, I haven't heard too many, but I've heard complaints about the price of their water and sewer going up here in town. Do you foresee that a big jump like they saw on phase one?
I'd like to take this one. We had planned initially on phasing this over many years, but eligibility, especially for as much as 75% of grant money, is rapidly becoming more and more challenging, in part due to our demographics up here. And just in part due to the fact that, you know, there's strains on federal funding, you know, at all levels. And what that does is that shifts, first off, it increases the cost. Every year we wait, the cost only goes up. And then second off, it shifts more debt burden onto it, because instead of a 25% loan, you may have a 33% loan, a 50% loan, or more. You hit, and you're very astute, you hit on our number one concern. You know, Hugh, Sherry, Mike, and I are trying to find ways to do this without increasing, you know, the debt burden on the ratepayers. Are there other funding sources that we can turn to, you know, other sources to help repay that loan? You know, if you get a favorable loan like we did with USDA at 2.5%, I think, or so, over 40 years, you know, perhaps we can tap into some consistent source of money that we know can fairly be, you know, tied and attributed. So we're dialed in on that. And the other thing we will do is we will once again ask Far West to give us a comprehensive update of our rates compared to Dayton's, Carson's, Canyon GID. We usually compare everywhere because I would totally agree with you. And for full disclosure, hey, I'm a ratepayer, but, you know, that's okay. But I would be honest with you, we're at the high end. We're almost at the break point here, and we need to find other ways to handle the debt load on that. And this just begins, it authorizes us to begin that path.
Just a small population for a big project.
Absolutely.
That's the hurt there. Okay.
What I find.
I have one other question. Now, basically, you're going to dig up the streets and put new sewer pipe in. Okay. Would you also be addressing any water pipes at that time, too, while the streets dug up? I mean, the water pipes are probably older than the sewer pipes.
Commissioner McGuffey, the water system, pretty much, with the exception of certain areas in Virginia City proper, are in pretty decent shape. This project on water, of course, began when the county bought the Virginia and Gold Hill Water Company from private ownership back in 1974. After that date, they embarked on, you know, replacement of infrastructure locally in Virginia City and Gold Hill. So the vast majority of the water side is fairly recent, and I'll say recent, you know, as of 30 years. I mean, it's not like, you know, the pipeline coming across the mountain here, vintage 1875. But there are a couple of projects that we have identified through, you know, a separate grant application, if you will. There are some roadblocks in the way, specifically through the Bureau of Land Management. We have to acquire, you know, some additional right-of-ways, you know, to complete these projects. One in particular sticks out is B Street. For the majority, B Street is an undersized line, you know, that probably dates back into, you know, the late 60s or so that needs to be upgraded. The Union Street line has been identified. So there are some of those that, you know, will it, it has to be a total separate project. We asked that question of USDA, you know, prior, and, you know, they're not willing to mix pots of money, you know, into one specific project, unfortunately. But it's something that is on our radar, so, you know, we've identified it, and we have Far West completing the process and the applications that are required to obtain the additional BLM right-of-ways for some of these projects. So.
And I think Mike kind of opened my eyes, because I had envisioned maybe water if we needed it, and this is a long-standing project that I won't say probably will never happen, but, you know, predecessors way back envisioned natural gas. So if we tear up the streets, can we go ahead and lay in infrastructure? However, I think, you know, Mike's comment to me a while back was, you know, that sewer runs downhill. We don't necessarily follow every street, you know, as we're coming down the Taylors and the Unions and that type of stuff, that, you know, we may have laterals in there, but, you know, when you get over to the rolling sections and sloping sections of H Street, I Street, you know, even B Street, they're not necessarily following the pavement path all the way.
And that, you know, that's what happened years ago up here. I mean, you know, they didn't request or, you know, get any right-of-ways transferred. And, you know, there are some challenges. We have sewer lines currently that run through private properties. So one of the things that has been a challenge from the engineering standpoint is getting, you know, these county-owned facilities back in our legal rights-of-way. So, I mean, it's something that we're cognizant of, and, you know, we've identified those areas, like I say, that, you know, need to eventually be looked into. So it's a slow process, and as you well know. So.
Thank you very much.
The exciting part I see about this is that since the completion of our new wastewater treatment plant, and people from the USDA Rural Development have come here to inspect it, see what's been done, they love it. I mean, they're the ones that funded the money for all of this, and so they've been a great working partner. But it's at their suggestion that we move forward on this. And they're offering this up. They don't know exactly what type of deal they can make with us yet, but it's pretty much they're saying, you guys need to push forward on this and get going on it because you've got a dilapidated system that needs upgrading. And they're here to help us, which is, you don't get that a lot out of federal agencies that are willing to step forward and help out like this. And so we need to go forward with this and see where it leads us. I mean, if
we need to approve this motion.
Yeah. There, I'll have to tell you, Cheryl Couch is just fantastic. She actually, we sat down together and we worked through all this application. I mean, it was, you don't get that kind of service from other federal agencies. Their whole staff is on, from Sarah Adler, their state director. I mean, everyone, they're just completely supportive of all projects. It's just, they're wonderful to work with. Yeah. Can't say enough good things about
even their D.C. folks.
Yeah, you know? Every single
Absolutely.
Person there.
Absolutely, yeah. Kids came out. Impressive. Yeah, mm-hmm. Great time.
Yeah.
Center system. All right. Everything else on this?
Thank you.
Okay. Take any public comment on this? Hearing none. Commissioner McGuffey, I'll go ahead and ask for a motion to go ahead and approve the intent to file this application with USDA Rural Development.
Yes, I'll make a motion to file an application with the USDA Rural Development for funding to complete the remaining phases on the Virginia Divide sewer system.
And I'll second your motion. It's moved and seconded to approve this application. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye, and motion carries. All right, moving along now to item number 14. This is under Community Development and Planning, Possible Action, Licensing Board, second readings.
I'll take this, Mr. Chairman, on behalf of Community Development. They're asking that you approve the following licenses, A through F. Those would be LK Town Construction, Simerson Construction, the Buckner House, Tesla Motors, and this is as a general contractor. This is not their final facility. Vivid Vistas HV and Veteran Construction LLC, A through F to be approved.
All righty. So, Commissioner McGuffey, looking for a motion to approve A through F.
I'll make a motion to accept A through F.
Yeah. I'll second your motion. Been moved to second to approve A through F. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Okay.
Thank you.
Good.
Community Development also recommends continuing or requests that we continue items G and H, specifically A, Z, Truck, Marine, and RV, and Rich Doss, Inc., to be continued, G and H.
All right. This time, looking, Commissioner McGuffey, I get a motion to continue items G and H.
I'll make a motion to continue items G and H.
It's been moved, and I'll second your motion. It's been moved and second to continue items G and H. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye, and motion carries. Very good. Moving along now to item number 15, public comment. Anyone have any public comment today? Hearing none, this meeting is adjourned.